Blog Talk Radio.
If you have patience with me for about a month, I will have you so smart. Yes, I will have you so smart that you can tie them around your fingers.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Nothing But Elijah. I'm your host, Sister Akila Ali, and this is being brought to you by CROW, the Coalition for the Remembrance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I just want to make sure that you recognize that this is a CROW production, that you support the organization by visiting our website at CROE.org, and also tap into us through our various social media pages, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and that's CROW TV at all of those different locations. I also want to ensure that I acknowledge the co-founders of CROW that make this possible, the establishers of the great organization of CROW, Brother Khalif Muhammad, Brother Shahid Muslim, and our late great business manager, Brother Munir Muhammad. What I like to do is kind of introduce the audio that we will be listening to. And I don't do too much more than that because I want to allow individuals to have the experience that I've been allowed to have, and that's hearing directly from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, having the ability to study his words and his teachings, and evaluating and determining if that's something that makes sense to you. And that's what makes the organization of CROW so wonderful, that they opened up the information and allowed you the opportunity to learn it at your own pace and gain an understanding. And we're convinced, if you take a critical look with an open mind at the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that you will see it not only makes sense, but it is what is needed. And with that, I'm going to play for you today an interview that I enjoy listening to, that I think lays out the program and the message completely of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which is the purpose of Nothing But Elijah.
We are now inside Mr. Muhammad's home. We want to thank him for being so gracious in extending this opportunity for us to explore with him the full meaning of the black Muslims. He has written a book called The Message to the Black Man in America, which will soon be published. And we have used this book to base a number of our questions to Mr. Muhammad. Mr. Muhammad, in this book, you make a number of stipulations of which we would like to press you on in the course of this session today. One, you call for the separation of the Negro into a separate state, either in this United States or made possible by the United States. Two, you say that war between the whites and the blacks is inevitable.
Yes. I'm very glad to answer these questions, Mr. Cup. To you and to the world. They are most essential that we should give the world the answer to such questions. I have been preaching and teaching the answers to these questions for many years. I give thanks place, Mr. Cup, to God, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad around 34 years ago now to me. And all that I have and been teaching, it is from him. And it is very easy for us to recognize the visit of this mighty one according to the time. If we have the knowledge of the time that we are living in, we can accept and respect this mighty visitor in this part of the world to fulfill that which was written of him, that he will come. And now he has come, and he has given out his purpose and his aims, as it also is written in the Bible in Juan. And therefore, I have nothing of myself in this answer. It is all from him.
From him, you mean the messenger of Allah?
No, not the messenger of Allah. I'm the messenger of Allah. I mean from Allah himself, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad,
who preceded you as the head of the Muslims.
Well, he was actually the beginner. Yes, sir. And I'm taught by him. This separation we begin with, it is absolutely necessary. We have lived here in America for the last 400 years and have served our slave masters well before these past 100 years. And now the time has arrived that we want something for ourselves. The natural spirit of God is moving in us and making us to think in such terms towards self. And the doing for self is now getting into the very life of the black man in America. We want to go for self. We want to be ourselves. This is arousing us by God himself. And to oppose it means nothing but death to either side. If we oppose it, it's death for us. If others oppose it, it's death to them.
But even your own people oppose it, Mr. Muhammad, if I may interject a thought here. Most of the civil rights leaders with whom I know you disagree, Dr. Martin Luther King, Whitney Young, and Roy Wilkins, and James Forman, and James Farmer, and any number of others, all believe in integration, getting along with the whites and moving into the same society.
This is all due to their lack of knowledge of the time and what should be done in such time. They don't know that this is their time, that they should be separated or they should go for themselves. This is what I'm trying to teach them. Teach them that this is the time that they should go for themselves.
But is it not, would you disagree that it is the ambition and the goal of most Negroes in this country to become Americans in every meaning of that word, to participate in our society, to be responsible, legitimate, honest citizens? Isn't that the goal of the overwhelming number of Negroes in this country?
It may be their goal, Mr. Cup, because that they don't even know, as I just said, that this is the time that they should be going for self. And lack of knowledge of the time, the lack of knowledge of self. The American so-called Negro, especially the leading class, do not actually know themselves. Excuse my voice, as I'm a little trying to be a little hoarse this morning. But however, I may clear it up later. America's so-called Negro, as you know, have been kept in the dark of the truth of self and kind for now 400 years, and the only one to break forth this truth, it is God himself, as it is written in the Bible, Ezekiel, and prophesied by Jesus that the dead must rise, mentally dead. So our so-called leadership is as dumb as those they are leading to this knowledge. Therefore, they hoped that they could have a place somewhere in the life of the white man of America and in his country and government. They seek that place. Not that they seek some portion of the country, Earth here. They seek only recognition of the white man as being a citizen of America and being his equal. And this is the wrong thing to be seeking, since we now have served our prophetic term of slavery here in America, and now we have a taste of education of our slave masters and their children. We don't go now to the colleges and universities of the white man looking for degrees to go back to him then for a job, to work, live with him, or some bread in the bread line.
Well, what is wrong with that ambition, Mr. Muhammad? It seems to be working out in growing numbers.
He was a subject, a servant all the time. He's not getting an equal place with his master by seeking a job. The only thing that he should seek now, since he admits that he's free, and he is free, he's not no more a servant or slave.
But
he's free.
The growing number of Negroes who have achieved prominence in all the fields of this country, economic, the social life, the arts, indicates that there is tremendous progress being made, and the growing middle class of the Negro is tremendous today with a tremendous purchasing power.
Yes, Mr. Cup, but the progress is only being made to the position or status of a more prominent servant, and not a servant that is equal with his master in owning such thing is placed on this earth that he can call his own like his master.
Then you say that people like the Dr. Ralph Bunches and any number of other Negroes who have achieved fame and fortune are still servants in this community?
His fame and fortune is not his. That's the white man. He have achieved fame and fortune for the white man, not for his black man. All that the prominent, I would say, politicians, teachers, and clergy, all has worked forward to the help of the white man to achieve fame for him and his race, but not for themselves and their race.
Let me take you to another area, Mr. Muhammad. Our government is spending millions of dollars in various programs, mostly aimed at uplifting the Negro for better education, better job opportunity, a better share of this society. Now, isn't that a worthy commentary on the white man's role?
If the slave master gets rich and richer, he can do better by his servant, his slave. But the slave is now, as I say, stands at the crossroads. He can go for himself. And why not the master teach him how to go for himself and provide him with the necessary means to go for himself and not say, keep petting him around his door
with a
better suit of clothes?
Let's assume, Mr. Muhammad, that your separation policy comes into effect. You will ask the United States to give you a state large enough to take care of all the Negroes in this land. That would be about one-fifth of the territory.
Well, it's about 22 or more million of
them. And then you would ask the United States for 25 or 30 years, according to your book, The Message to the Black Man, to help operate this for 25 or 30 years.
Not 30.
25.
20 or 25.
And also to give you a land that's fertile and rich in minerals so that the Negro can
deprive
from the earth
a
justifiable living.
Yes, sir.
How would you bring an economic system? How would you get people to start a new state?
How would we get them to start? I'm asking you for the start.
You want the government to start the state for you, to build all the buildings and give you the educational system, and give you the businesses.
We believe that you are obligated to start us off. in such state, according to your own civilization, or set up for your own civilization, the means that you have to set your own race up as an independent race here today, not what you had 400 or 500 years ago, but what you have today.
Let me pause for just a moment,
yes,
Mr. Muhammad.
Sir.
We still have to interrupt for commercials on this
Thank
program.
You.
We'll pause for a moment and be right back with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Mr. Muhammad, while we're talking about this very unique proposition of yours as expressed in the message to the black man and, of course, in all your philosophy, it's interesting to note that Abraham Lincoln once proposed or thought that all Negroes, perhaps for their own best interest, should be moved to a separate state. And Garvey, a great leader of the Negroes many, many years ago, proposed that the Negroes have their own state. He was never too successful. And if I remember correctly, the communists in the early 30s, at the height of the Depression, urged that the Negroes be given their own state in an effort to capitalize on their following, I presume. None of these ever came to fruition or were ever successful or ever interested too many Negroes. How do you figure that you today can get Negroes to leave this country of theirs and go elsewhere?
Well, I will not have any power to do, I don't have any power to do any more than those teachers that preceded me on the same subject. I myself don't have any power of myself to bring about such change. But God is with me to bring it about. The time is with me.
How has your God, Allah, manifested himself in this presentation?
He have manifested himself in the person of a man and with the knowledge of the end of the history that we has been in service to white people and the time that we should be separated from them. This knowledge was given by him. And he is the one that is backing it up. It is not me. I don't want you to look at me as nothing but a messenger. That's all I am, just a messenger to tell you what someone said to me. This law that I have said to you concerning the separation, it is not, say, contrary to prophecy, the sayings of the prophets concerning a separation of the slave and his master. It is not contrary. But where I come in that there of asking you if you would like to do something for yourself and admitting this justice from yourself, as this is nothing but justice, to give the slave something to go with if you have freedom. That America has never done for us. Our parents was never given anything to go for self. Now, the time have come that God himself will intervene to separate the so-called Negro or the lost members of their people, the black nation of the earth, from their once slave masters. This is the time, according to the prophetic sayings and writings of prophets, that we must be separated.
I just want to ask you one question along the separation theory before we move on. There are approximately 22 million Negroes in the United States.
Yes.
There's an estimated 100,000 members of these who belong to your sect. Now, how can you expect 100,000 to dominate 22 million who don't feel the same way that you do?
Oh, Mr. Cup, the number doesn't mean anything. We have history dating back that just less people than that. Even the people that dominated in the world today, your own race, they was not started with even 100,000. Only 59,000 was used to make your own world. It don't make any difference about the number. It's only the one that believing in the honest about accomplishing the aim and the purpose.
If you had your choice of territory in this country, where would you select?
Well, I'm not saying, as I have said time and again, I will not say Well, I would like to have a room in your house before ever you are willing to give me a room there.
Mr. Muhammad, in your book, you also say that war between the non-whites and the whites is inevitable.
If you will permit me, Mr. Cup, I would like to go back here to this separation. Again.
All right.
We often has been misunderstood on this. We know that the prophesy says that we should be returned or will be returned to our own. But I have said here in this book, and almost weekly I'm saying something about it, that if America wants to ease their troubles, as this is the trouble that she is confronted with, it is her slave. I don't care what someone might say or may say about the problem, but the problem of America, it is her slave. And the solution has been given. And this is just only a little twist of the solution that I am presenting to America today. That instead of all of this, I would say, mistreating the poor man, crying out today for more justice and better justice, better recognition, put him over here in some place. You have a house big enough to do so. Put him over here someplace to himself, regardless to what he says. You know the truth. You know that he should be somewhere to himself, because you will never agree to all that he demands you of. You cannot do so unless you want to become a subject slave yourself, or that you want to get in the same status that your slave is in, to yield to all of his demands. That is trying to respect a once slave as your equal. You can't do that and keep your respect in the world of civilized nation. But you can, I should say, stop trying to force the ideal in the slave that he is as good, he is as honored, he is as much as the master. This cannot be accepted as true, even from the master.
Would you
deny? Given, if you will just permit me, I will give you a chance then. By giving him a chance to sit in the house with you and talk with you and your family, or even marry your sons and daughters, that's not yet making him your equal. Or to prepare in your laboratories jobs for him, factories, build factories to give him a job, keep him at work. That is not making him your equal yet. He's still unequal. And it's a real ignorant thing to say he's my equal because I give him social status with me. This is bad on the white man's part even to offer his slave integration in marriage, intermarriage. It only makes him worse in the eyes of the world, and his intelligence is now has been lost, and his decency of his society is lost, even by just offering the slave such opportunity. But if he would go and offer his slave a place over here to himself, say, boy, you have allowed me to use this slave. Boy, you have been a good old plowboy for me. Now I'm going to let you plow for yourself. Here's a mule. Here's a plow. I will furnish you plow tools until that you are able to pay for them or make them yourself.
You don't think that the white man really thinks of the Negro as boy anymore? That this
I said that
has
allow me
so
to use the word,
ago.
But he still calls them boys in many parts of the country.
You still refuse to acknowledge, though, that the tremendous progress of any number of Negroes in all the arts, in all the political world, in all the sports world, in the entertainment world, in education, These people are not the equal of the whites with their tremendous success?
Well, if he has made progress in the way of civilization for the white man, or in the civilization of the white man, well, why object then to him going doing this for himself? Let him make a way for now for himself.
But don't you feel, Mr. Muhammad, that this success is generated among the Negro youth who look up to these people as idols, and they themselves take their place in the society as successful people, inspired by their own people who have made successes?
Until he learned the truth. When he learned the truth of himself and of those who that he's worshiping, then he will go for himself, as I have the spirit to go for myself. I don't want to be a slave for you. I don't want you to use me as a servant. I want to be my independent self. I want some of this earth for my people like you. You came here and taken it by the knowledge and power of your own fathers from the Indian, and you made a great country out of it. Then you goes back to my country and brings us here to serve you as a slave, free labor. For 300 years we have did that for you, willingly or unwillingly. We did so, and our fathers. Now for 100 years, you say we are free. And 100 years we are not free. We are so blind, deaf, and dumb, we still look forward to you to make our clothes for us, get the cotton and the wool, go and put it through the mills and make cloth out of it for us, and we're still sitting looking at you do all of this for us.
Mr.
And
Muhammad, if you'll pardon me, I must say that your interpretation of the Negro is far different than mine. You sound more like Governor Wallace when you say the Negro is deaf, dumb, and blind. You don't want to be linked with Governor Wallace as one of the outstanding races.
No, I say that because God himself said it. It's written in the Bible in Quran. Wallace didn't write this.
No, but he announces and enunciates the same principle that you're enunciating.
Well,
that the Negro is dumb.
Well,
and
he's
not
saying
to
what God in the Bible says.
Well,
your Bible says that we are blind, deaf, and dumb, and even dead.
Well, many people certainly will disagree with anything that the Wallace
respects. Well, they disagree with God in the prophets then.
Only in your Bible, not in any other Bible.
It's in your Bible.
That the Negro is dumb and blind?
I got mine from you.
We'll have to pause here a moment, Mr.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. That, of course, was the last messenger of Allah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, being interviewed by Irv Kustinet. And if any time you want to know what the Nation of Islam is about, what the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad are about, I believe that this is an excellent interview. The questions that are posed are questions that many believers have heard from individuals attempting to dissect and punch holes through the program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But again, if you want to learn more about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and gain access to any of the audios that are played here, please visit CRO, the Coalition for the Remembrance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, at CROE.org. And I leave you as I greeted you, and we will pick up more of this next week, the teaching. Assalamu alaikum.
If you have patience with me for about a month, I will have you so smart. Yes, I will have you so smart that you can tie them around your fingers.